What wondrous love is this? Oh my soul, what wondrous love is this? Oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down, when I laid aside his crown for my soul, oh yes, he laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to his Lamb, I'm gonna sing to God.
Welcome, the Lamb. Yeshua, Jesus, is the fulfillment of the feast. He is our feast, our Passover. And Passover is the Hebrews story of deliverance and salvation found in Exodus 12:1-13. The Passover was a sign that was not fulfilled, pointing to a fulfillment, which is the Lord Yeshua. It is the dress rehearsal, and now the real has come. Exodus 12:1-13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. That means the lamb is kept for 4 days. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall keep it and shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. These are the instructions that the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Now in Exodus 12:21, and Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover." Now, this is interesting because after the days of Exodus had long passed and the state of Israel was established, and David and Jesus, the verse there was David was in the hills of Bethlehem, and then the temple rituals were instituted. The people of Israel, the Hebrews, would choose a lamb on the 10th day and keep it in their house, and they'd give it a name. And it became the family pet, so to speak, and then it was slaughtered on the 4th day. But not until the lamb was examined. When they chose the lamb, there were certain requirements. It must be a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep. And when it's killed in the evening, it was at a very specific time, on the 14th day of the same month. And then the blood is taken and they strike it. So it's not like they brush it on or they pat it on. They strike it. It's a violent act on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house where they'll eat it. And that particular symbolism of striking it on the two sides in the upper reminds us that it's a cross. That a cross is put over the door. And Yeshua often said, "I am the door." Anyway, and it is the blood that when the judgment, the death angel passes over, he will see the blood. And it's the token. It's a token that of faith. And the death angel will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. And this plague was to strike all the firstborn with death in the land of Egypt, except those that were in the house with the doorposts of blood. Exodus 12:26-27, further down in the passage, says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by the service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.' And the people bowed the head and worshipped." This is a relational issue. It is the lamb, is the family pet, and it speaks of the price that it costs. That this is not without emotion or ties, and it's over the firstborn, and it points to the firstborn of the Lord. He gave these instructions as a token, but it is not the fulfilled redemption for the death for our sins. It's the lamb was examined without spot or blemish, meaning that this lamb was perfect without sin. And the Passover lamb was sacrificed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Passover for 1,500 years, just as Yeshua died on Passover at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's look at another passage here. in Hebrews 3, 5, and 6 that will elucidate this teaching. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses is the man who was in Egypt, who instituted by the instruction of the Lord the keeping of the Passover, which is a testimony of things to come. It pointed to something else. The original was a token, but things were to be fulfilled. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing and the hope firm into the end, we are the Lord's house. We are the temple. If we hold fast and endure until the end, the confidence and rejoicing. John, now, who is the Christ as a son? The son, okay, who, what does this Holy Scripture say declaring this man, this Christ? John 1:29. The next day, John, that would be John the Baptist, seeing Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And again, further down in this passage of John 1:36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. For the next 3.5 years, he would minister, and John the Baptist prepared the way for him, and he went down to the Jordan River to be baptized to fulfill all the law and requirements. He was, when Jesus came out of the water from being baptized by water and for repentance, there was an audible voice saying, "This is my son, whom I love," and the Spirit of the Lord, like a dove, rested upon him. And this is to validate the fact that Jesus was fulfilling all the law and keeping the requirements. He was being examined. It was a public testimony by John as the greatest prophet and forerunner, and by the audible spoken word of the Lord. The end of Jesus' ministry, what he came to accomplish, for which he was born of, he also went through the same examinations that the Passover lamb did. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.'" All right, let's look a little bit more closely at the account in Matthew of what was going to happen regarding the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. In Matthew 26, verse 17, this is through 25, it speaks of Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples. "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus to say to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they're reading, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' And he answered them, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, as it is written. In other words, the fore account that has been laid down in the Holy Scrolls. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to them, you have said it. In this particular passage, the Passover was kept the day before the Passover that was instituted and kept in the temple feast. Let's look at the next several passages where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, verses 26 through 30, Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The passage here clearly states, Jesus says, he is the body, he's the bread from heaven. And then the cup, he blesses it, and he clearly states, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin, that the death angel passes over us in hell, and that we are redeemed and delivered out of the house of bondage and slavery, the world system. But I say to you, he says to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And this passage is so important to us. It is the key verse of the atoning work of Jesus' ministry. Let's look at the other passages so we can see different angles. The passage in Mark, which Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, is very similar to the one in Matthew. There is no recounting of it in John, per se. But there is a different angle in Luke. Luke 22:14 through 23, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then he began to question among themselves which of them who would do this thing. Having recounted that, Jesus, then, the next day, he was arrested. That night, they went to the Mount of Olives after the Passover meal. And he prayed in the garden, and he was betrayed and arrested in the garden. And then mocked and beaten, thrown into prison, handed over to Pontius Pilate, who examined him. And Pontius Pilate asked him, was he king of the Jews? And Jesus said, it is as you say. And Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds in Luke 23, I find no fault in this man. But they were more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Well, when Pilate heard that he was a Galilean, he turned him over to Herod. And that day, Herod and Pilate became friends. And as the story progresses, he was chastised and he was beaten and he had a crown of thorns. He was beaten with a rod and a purple robe was put on him. And he was delivered over to take up his cross, even though he was horribly beaten and bruised, and to carry a cross up to Golgotha. He was crucified and his garments were divided, and they wrote upon him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he died on the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour was in the afternoon. It was the same time that day when in the temple the Passover lamb was being slaughtered. Jesus, the true Lamb of God, was being slaughtered on Golgotha. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 17. Now, moreover, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant how our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized with Moses in the cloud and sea, and they ate the same spiritual meat and they drank the same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock which was Christ. And this interpretation tells us that the lamb slaughtered in the Old Testament were pointing to the Lamb of God and his sacrifice. But with many of them, God was not pleased, well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. It is written that people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to you for examples, and they written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now that's us. The ends of the world is coming. And they're written as examples to admonish us not to, once we have come to Christ and been delivered from our sin, to go back into idolatry and sin. Oh, wherefore you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. There's no temptation taking you, but is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with a temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. Is the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. That's the Passover bread, the unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, no sin, perfect. And the cup of grape juice, which is the blood of Jesus, represents. This is taken every Sabbath and the Passover. So that we might what? That we Exodus 12:26-27, it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what means that you this by this service? And you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed and worshipped. And now it is, right? It is the cup of communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ that we do in remembrance until we eat and drink with him in the kingdom. Hebrews 8:16-13. Now he has obtained, who's he, Jesus, Yeshua, a more excellent ministry, by how which he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better covenants. What did Jesus say? This is the new covenant. For if the first covenant had been faultless, that's the Mosaic covenant, then should no place have been sought for the second. The first covenant was just a type, a token. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant. And didn't we say that? They went to sexual immorality and idolatry and so on. Murmured and complained. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So there's no other covenant. There's no other name given unto heaven by which men might be saved from their sins. Yeshua means salvation, means saved from their sins. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Let's look at John's exposition in 3:12-18, where he says, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how you will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. That's speaking of Jesus. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus ascended up into heaven. It was seen in Acts chapter 1. The apostles and many people saw him ascend up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. He came down from heaven, and he is the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does that mean? On a pole, on a cross. The serpents, they had bronze serpents made. It was speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus, that he was lifted up and crucified, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What does Yeshua mean in Hebrew word for Jesus? Salvation. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Very clear. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. in Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, and I want to make this very clear. This is a stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Okay, we're talking about the building, which we are the temple, and the cornerstone is Jesus. He's speaking to the religious leaders. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. He came from heaven. He came to earth, and he has now ascended back into heaven. There's no other human Adam DNA that has done that ever. Let's look at what Hebrews says about the sacrifice and offering. Buddha, Muhammad, Hinduism, all these other gods are all idols, New Age, that's idolatry, and obviously the occult, mystery religions, Masons, Wiccans, all the above. Hebrews 10:7-18. Then I said, that's Jesus is making the statement, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So he takes away the first, that is the Mosaic covenant, that he may establish the second, by which is the one he had in mind from the foundations of the earth, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So Jesus Christ's body sanctifies us. He was the unleavened bread without sin, and he sanctifies us and makes us without sin. And his blood takes away the sin and purges us. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus Yeshua, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Where there is remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. So he, Yeshua, Jesus, is a once and for all sacrifice. You can't have altars where you do a reenactment of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's a blasphemy. It's once and for all. It's done. We take the communion cup and the bread, and we do that in remembrance until we eat it in the kingdom of the Lord. We are reminded of his, you know, it's our little demonstration, our token of reminding ourselves, and to keep that reverence and awe in our hearts about the great work that he has done, and that he is sanctifying us. He says, remember, remember, remember. Why? Because we're forgetful people. Hear, hear, hear. Why? Because we don't listen. So the conclusion of the matter, let's go into heaven now through Revelation 5:8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So all these creatures in heaven are falling down before this Lamb, having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, Who's saying that? The heavenly company, Mount Zion. The redeemed, the esteemed redeemed. Let's look at that. Let's look at the heavenly company, which it speaks of in Hebrews. For you have not come to the mount that may be touched with the burned with fire into blackness and darkness and tempest and at the sounds of the trumpets and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. That shows you that the beast does not enter the mountain of the Lord. Anything in the flesh cannot, because it's corrupted, and God is not corrupt. He's eternal, he's perfect, he's holy. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you, those who've come and received Jesus as their Savior, has confessed with their mouth and said in their heart, I need to be saved from my sins. Those are the ones. Who can come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. That's the covenant of the Lamb. Now let's look back in here. So then that's where we're going, and here's what it looks like. There's this lamb in the middle of the throne. And they all fall down to worship him, having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's look at the next verse. And every creature which is on heaven, in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that I am in, are in them. Every creature, all of creation, every creature heard me say, I sang blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Let's look at the next chapter, 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the beasts, four beasts, saying, Come and see. Let's look at the next chapter, Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then Revelation 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb. Who's that? The beast. The beast cannot come up onto the mountain of the Lord, Mount Zion. Those who worship the beast, and whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. In the next chapter of Revelation 14, and lo, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. And the fourth verse, and these which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So these are men. The 144,000 are men. Those who follow the Lamb. The 10th verse in Revelation 14. And the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And this person is the beast. And those who receive his image and his mark on his forehead or their hand. Those who follow and worship the beast. Revelation 15, 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. It's the first covenant, pointing to the song of the Lamb. And the song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been made manifested. Let's look at Revelation 17, 14. And these shall make war with the Lamb. Who's making war with the Lamb? The beast, the kings of the earth. And the beast on which the woman sits, Mystery Babylon, the whore. They are making war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Let's look at Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who's the body of Christ? Who's the temple? You are, who believe in his name and has received him. That's you. You're invited. I invite you to come. I'm giving you an invitation. The invitations are going out. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the nations, and then shall the end come. So I'm inviting you to come and receive Yeshua, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. To be saved from your sins and let his sanctifying work come and work in you. To receive the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you the Holy Spirit after you have received the blood of Yeshua. That you might be holy and sanctified and set apart. Holy means set apart, sanctified. For his purposes, reserved for his uses. For eternal life, for the kingdom. To worship him and minister to him. Revelation, verses later, it says in Revelation 19:9, and he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says to me, these are the true sayings of God. And this city, Revelation 21, a wall of the city had 12 foundations. And who's the cornerstone? Jesus. And who lays the foundations? In them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The ones that sat at the Passover table with him. And the ones that saw his sufferings. Revelation 21:22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And he showed unto me a river of water of life, Revelation 21:1, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the third verse in this, shall be no more curse, because Jesus took the curse on the cross. Whoever dies on the tree is cursed. He took our curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Come, let everyone who's thirsty come and drink of the waters. The bride is beckoning and saying, come, drink and eat. Let him who thirsts come, who desires, let him taste the warning freely. For the Lord is coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and be blessed. Come to the wedding supper. You're invited of the Lamb.
To God and to His Lamb, who is the great I Am. While millions join the theme, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. While millions join the theme, I'll sing on. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, it caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.